would you please welcome to the stage Romesh Ranganathan.
Hello. Are we all right? I just want to thank my cousin Paul for getting me on the show. Anyway, I'm breaking boundaries here tonight, right? Because I'm an Asian guy, you're thinking, oh, he's going to be doing multicultural, he's going to be doing brown stuff. I'm not. Yeah? I'm doing sport. And tonight I want to talk about racism in sport, right? First issue up, this man, Yaya Toure, right? He plays for Manchester City, he got racially abused when he was playing for Man City against CSKA Moscow. And he said, you know, if there's something that doesn't get done about this, then he's asking black players to boycott the World Cup in Russia. Now, I had no idea that Yaya Toure was a commander-in-chief of black players. Some of them might be making their own mind up. They're not stormtroopers, mate. And the thing is, I don't understand why that's a threat, saying that all the black players are going to boycott the World Cup. I mean, Russia don't have any black players. So what you're basically saying is, if your fans keep on being racist, we're going to give you the best possible chance of winning the World Cup. What the hell are you on about? Hey, one of the sanctions against teams whose fans are racist is that your team can get relegated. Now, I don't know about you, but this gives me a cunning little plan. Because I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy shirts of teams that I bloody hate. For me, it'd be Man United, Chelsea, Three Bridges Women's Netball Team. They know why. And then I'm going to turn up at one of their games in their shirts. I'm going to start monkeying it up. See if I'm getting sent down. It's a great plan, but it's a little bit complicated for me because I'm actually brown. I'm worried that somebody's going to see me doing that and think, holy shit, they actually do that. I mean, the complicating factor of this is this, Gareth Bale. I mean, he actually looks like a monkey. That's the problem. And the issue that you've got here is, you can never tell him, right? Because there'll always be a black player on the field. You can't go, oh, 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 and then go, no, mate, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to him. He actually looks like a monkey. I want to talk about Alex Ferguson. Alex Ferguson, he wrote a new autobiography. Imaginative the title, My Autobiography. Now, this is the second one of his books. The second book he's written. The first one was all sweetness and light. It was lovely. The second one, he's properly lost it, didn't he? It's like when you have the first book is like when you're at a work meeting, like an appraisal. Are there any problems? Well, there's a couple of issues, but I think everything's sort of all right. Not that bothered, to be honest with you. The second book is like him at his leaving do. He's a prick. She's a slag. He's been sleeping with her for 6 months, and Neil, when we were at that conference in Cardiff, I pissed in your milk, you arsehole. And the thing that I found really weird is that Fergie, he talks about David Beckham. I think Bex is a ledge. Right, he talks about David Beckham. He sold David Beckham, or what instigated the sale of David Beckham is David Beckham got a new haircut and then he refused to take his hat off at the table. And then Fergie thought, no, I'm not having this, mate. You can piss off. Now, Ryan Giggs shagged his brother's missus and he slept with another woman. He still plays for Man United. So basically what that's telling me is in Fergie's world, you can fuck around as much as you like, as long as you take your hat off when you do it. Thank you. I'm doing sports news. I want to talk about the first person I want to talk about is Hugo Lloris, the Tottenham goalkeeper. Got a knee to the head, got knocked unconscious. Here's a picture. Oh, shit, bruv. You just got murked. Got a knee straight through the head, yeah? Brad Friedel, the substitute Tottenham keeper, was watching it, is what I think his reaction would have been.
Have it, mate. He's thinking, come on.
I'm going to finally get on. Yes, it's finally going to happen after all this time. The manager, Andre Villas-Boas, he said to him, you know, are you OK to carry on? And he said, yeah, I'm absolutely fine, Mum. The medical staff, the manager, the referee, they all thought he should go off, but then he said he wanted to carry on. If you're in a situation where you've got to decide where somebody's got to carry on, the last person you ask in that scenario is the person that is technically dead. If you were a co-pilot on a plane, right, and the lead pilot fell unconscious, and instead of letting you take over, they just went, well, should we see if this guy wakes up from the coma? Right, you'd be a bit pissed off, wouldn't you? If I got knocked unconscious before coming on here, they wouldn't make me carry on. They'd just give my glasses to Chowdhury. Sven-Goran Eriksson has written an autobiography. Can I be the first person to say, who gives a shit? I've got no interest in what this guy's got to say about football, but the only thing that is quite interesting is who he's been banging. Right, that's the interesting bit. He's been playing it fast and loose with the dickie. They've wheeled out Ulrika Johnson to bask in the deflected limelight. She's on the phone waiting for the call. You can imagine just going, I'm back! It was reported, apparently, that Sven, in order to show off to Ulrika, said that he could beat up Fergie. Fergie's a 70-year-old man, right? If it's true, basically, Sven is showing off about beating up a pensioner so he can get laid. Now, I've done a lot of things to impress a woman. I've bought her dinner, I've bought her flowers. What I've never done is slapped a granny. Ulrika said that having sex with Sven was like reading an IKEA instruction manual. Now, she's just picked that because he's Swedish, right? Talking about reverting to stereotypes, thank goodness she didn't end up in a relationship with Krishnan Guru Murphy. I really enjoyed the way he dipped his poppadom in my chutney. Ulrika said, right, she would have got more satisfaction from putting up a bookcase than having sex with Sven. Now, I thought that was really weird until I saw the bookcase. Didn't even have to mock that up. That's just from my wife's closet. Manchester City players, right, have been given language packs, because so many of them are foreign. I don't know if you've seen this. They've been given language packs to help them understand English. Part of the advice in these language packs was for them to watch children's television programmes, CBeebies. What a damning indictment of the English-speaking players at Manchester City that instead of having a conversation with them to learn the language, it's better to watch In the Night Garden. Apparently, for those that find it too challenging, they've just been told to watch Towie. Apparently, Julian Lescott got kicked off when Sergio Aguero was using English that he'd just learnt from Rastamouse. Irie, man, I'm going to be taking a free kick, your bumber ass. In the Night Garden, right, it's got characters in it like Maka Paka and Ninky Nonk. Now, in these racially charged times, I don't think we should be throwing around terms like that. I reckon that's why Suarez got into trouble. Offside, Ninky Nonk, you fucking what, mate? So the jockey, AP McCoy, has been called the most successful sportsman of all time because he has won 4,000 races. First of all, can we just accept that it's the horses that win the race, right? If anything, the jockeys are making it more difficult. Can't imagine Usain Bolt halfway through the 100 metres going, do you know what? This would be a lot easier if I had an angry midget piggybacking on me right now. I mean, AP McCoy, he's been winning all of these races, yeah? But he's been winning on horses. Good horses. You want to show me how good you are, mate? Turn up on a goat. You see, the jockey's like jumping and whipping. I just want the horse to turn around and go, do you know what, mate? This would be a lot easier if you just fucked off. Can you do me a favour? Can you just assume that from now on, I am going as fast as I can? Is that all right? The horse cannot win without the jockey, but it's much easier. But the horse is not allowed to win without the jockey. Can you imagine how he would feel? He's beaten everyone in the race. He crosses the line. He's absolutely smashing. He goes, yeah. Oh, fucking hell, he fell off. All he had to do was hold on the prick. And he couldn't even manage that. What an arsehole. So much hard work for a jockey. The biggest achievement of being a jockey is keeping your weight down. Losing weight, getting lighter. You're trying to be as light as possible. How heartbreaking has it got to be for you as a jockey? No matter how light you get, you will never be as good as if you just weren't there. It's actually better for you to call in sick. The England cricket team have been in the news, the Ashes are coming up, and people are looking at me thinking, well, Romesh, what team do you support? Well, I'm originally Sri Lankan. My parents are Sri Lankan, right? But I was born and bred in England. So what I say to you is I proudly support any team that happens to be winning at the time. That's... I mean, I'll be honest with you, I can even support Australia if I want. The England cricket team have sent through an 82-page menu booklet to the chefs in Australia, right? They've got quinoa, tofu, mung bean. And the Australian cricket team are getting all excited about this because they reckon they can take the piss. I think this is Australian cricket team missing a trick here. Because if you want to take the piss out of the England cricket team, there are far more obvious things that you can take the mickey out of. For example, the fact that half the team are South African, right? I mean, I'm all for being inclusive, but it's a bit embarrassing when you see the interview, isn't it? I am extremely proud to be playing for England, and I cannot wait to go back to Johannesburg and talk to my family about how proud I am. When I was growing up, it was always my dream to play for my country, and that didn't work out. England are definitely the favourite of my second choices. I mean, you can't blame us for sending a menu across the Australians in advance. I mean, their culinary skills are hardly renowned, are they? The two most famous contributions they've made are the barbecue and the bush tucker trial, right? The Australians, they think it's going to give them loads of verbal ammunition. They think they're going to give it some to England on the pitch, right? As if they found their weakness by taking the mickey out of the food. I mean, it's all a bit petty, isn't it? Right? I mean, it's hardly 8 Mile. Do you know what I mean? You're in the pavilion, yamming on some mung bean while I'm round your parents' house, flicking on your mum's bean. Munching on tofu so you won't put on flab while your missus enjoys my spicy lamb kebab. How much of a pussy are ya? I would say very, but you won't get cystitis because you're drinking cranberry. Peace. Thank you. I'm Romesh Ranganathan, and I'm here to do the sports. Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about David Haye. David Haye has pulled out of his big comeback fight with Tyson Fury because he's hurt his shoulder.
Oh dear, David.
To prove it, he's tweeted a hospital selfie.
Oh, look at him. Bless him.
He's basically done that as proof. That's proof of his injury. That's the equivalent of one of us going, I can't make it in today. I feel it really rough, man. I can't do it. It's the second time he's done this. He pulled out of the first one because of a gashed eyebrow. This is basically like, you know when you arrange to meet up with someone for a drink and you don't really like them? So you set the date up for 3 months' time. And then when the day's approaching, you just sort of pull out at the last minute. Do you know what I mean? That's basically what I do. Right, I've cancelled so many lunches with people because my kids are ill that I actually got a call from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I don't know if you're aware of this. David Haye does not allow himself to have sex for 6 weeks before a fight. And now he's retiring, he can do it whenever he wants. And what this also means is that, you know, I've been married for 3 years, which technically means I am always prepared for a boxing match. People describe David Haye as a personality boxer, but I sort of think he's benefited from the fact that there's sort of a lack of personalities in boxing. It's not like it used to be. Like, we used to have, like, Chris Eubank.
I'm more than a pugilist. I don't understand. Why is this man talking about my mother?
They have Mike Tyson, which is basically the same as Chris Eubank, but American.
I'm a pugilist. Why is this man talking about my mother?
You know, he had a real personality, right? He had a real personality. He said things like, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And that's pretty much true, isn't it? As I found out when I told my grandmother that I was planning on marrying a white woman. Mike Tyson this week has brought out an autobiography. Mike Tyson is so batshit crazy that he got a face tattoo. And that's probably one of his better life decisions, right? That's... He fought while he was on drugs, it turns out. He fought while he was on drugs, but that drug was marijuana. So all this time that Mike Tyson is behaving like that, he was chilled out, right? What the hell would it have been like if he sobered up? The man that bit off Evander Holyfield's ear was chilled out. He just had the munchies. So, the England football team, this week they've lost to both Chile and Germany. It's hard being an England fan, right? It's hard being an England fan, because one minute you think you're going to win the whole thing, and the next minute we think we're the absolute shittest thing ever. Do you know what I mean? Like, what the hell are you doing, Rooney? He's crap, isn't he, Rooney? I told you, he's crap. Rooney, you're crap, Rooney. Rooney! 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 I told you, mate, he's a legend! First of all, right, supporting England is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing, right? Because the only thing worse than leaving your Christmas decorations up too long is leaving an England flag up too long outside your house. You know what I mean? You're definitely sending a message to your neighbours, aren't you? England flag 2 days after the tournament, national pride. 2 weeks after the tournament, national front. Right, this... The newspapers are up in arms because apparently the hotel that England is staying in Brazil is rubbish, right? Football players are paid so much, I'm glad they're staying in a shithole, right? But the thing is, let's be honest, the England team's idea of a shit hotel is going to be very different to yours and mine, isn't it? I can't imagine John Terry is going to have to knock on the door at 10:30 p.m. to be let in by the night porter. You're never going to have to suffer the horrible feeling that you get when the breakfast is included and you go downstairs and you find out it's continental. They're not going to do what I do, which is where I take the little bottles of shampoo and then I pretend to my wife that I got her a present. Little sachet of something, darling. The toaster. You know the toasters that they've got at hotels? They must absolutely baffle England players. I don't know what's going on here. John Terry, I don't know what's going on. I put the bread in, it's white. Disappears for 2 minutes. It's brown. It's like my worst nightmare. I want to talk about the cricket. England got whipped in the cricket. They got whipped in the first match of the Ashes. I have been so embarrassed by the English performance of actually pretending to people that I'm an Aborigine. Right, that's... I don't have to nail my flag to your mast, white people. Right? It's got to the point now where the best chance of an English victory in Australia is Joey Essex. That is quite depressing, right? I don't know if they're cricket fans in, but the problem is, because the Ashes are being played in Australia, right, you have to watch it overnight. You have to sit and watch it through the night. There is nothing darker than me sitting in my living room, in my underwear, in the middle of the night, eating a pot noodle. Yeah? But now I can watch cricket while I do it. So it's... I mean, the England performance has been so embarrassingly bad that when I've been watching it and my wife comes downstairs to see what I'm doing, I flick it to Babe Station and pretend I'm having a wank. That's... There's been controversy about sledging. Now, I don't know if you know what sledging is, but sledging is a nice word for abuse, basically. It's where the cricketers are having a go at each other, giving each other a shitload of banter, and they just call it sledging. I mean, you can't just give it a nice word, and that's all right. It wouldn't be all right in football if the goalkeeper called the striker a black bastard and just went, "It's all right, mate, I was just tobogganing." I didn't mean anything by it. I mean, they've got Hawkeye, they've got the snickometer, all of this stuff. I reckon they should just let us hear the sledging. It's really interesting. I think you should be able to watch it on the red button, just hear what's going on. Right, because in a football match, they've just got 90 minutes. They've got 90 minutes to abuse, so it'd just be, "Oh, I shagged your wife." Right? Cricketers, they've got days, right? Day one, "I shagged your wife." Day two, "And she made me dinner." Day three, "And she made me dessert." Day four, "Dessert was your mum." I mean, part of the reason that people, I think, don't give a shit about the Ashes, or some people don't give a shit about the Ashes, is because of the size of the trophy, right? Look at this trophy. That is a joke. You're supposed to be able to drink champagne out of it. You could barely get a Jaeger bomb out of that. I mean, that is not a trophy. That's a trophy. That's the Golf World Cup. You can get in that. There's massive news in the world of rugby, obviously, and you'll all have heard about it. Ben Cohen is out of Strictly Come Dancing. That's the big news. Now, what I find most upsetting about rugby players is the fact that they go on to do Strictly afterwards. Like, what is going on during a ruck where you think, "Do you know what? I think I'm going to take these skills and apply them to the foxtrot. I think this is the way forward." Ben Cohen, he danced topless. Look at that tall glass of vanilla goodness. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This pissed me off, right? Because I'm watching this in the living room with my wife. I don't want to be made self-conscious in my own house. Do you know how self-conscious I am? I'm so self-conscious about my appearance that one day I woke up in the morning, I went to the bathroom, I looked at myself in the mirror, I went back to the bedroom and apologised to my wife for my appearance. She accepted my apology. I mean, personally, I don't want to see good-looking guys doing Strictly. I want to see guys like this doing Strictly. Boom. Then I feel better about myself. I mean, gorgeous sportsmen are messing up my home life. For example, my wife is obsessed with David Beckham. She thinks he's gorgeous, but actually he's not. I'm here to share this with you. The only reason people think he looks gorgeous, the only reason that women think David Beckham is gorgeous, is because he hangs around with ugly people. Right, think about it. He's always with Gary Neville, Paul Scholes, started hanging out with Prince William. He's not looking so hot these days, is he? Yeah, the bloom's come off that rose. So for example, look at this picture of Bex. Does he look hot? Now, don't be fooled. The only reason he looks hot is because I'm standing next to him, right? Watch this. Sports news this week: Rory McIlroy won his first tournament of 2013 in the golf. Here he is, looking very happy about it. I'm very glad that he's won a tournament, right? Because this means he won't be doing any more of those bloody Santander ads. Have you seen these adverts? It's the creepiest bloody advert I've ever seen in my life. Right, basically, for those of you that haven't seen it, there's some people just in their house, Jessica Ennis, Jensen Button, Rory McIlroy, just turn up. And then they've got a pet normal person to hang out with. And they're giving them financial advice. They're trying to be normal people. I tell you what, Jensen, if you want me to treat you like a normal person, how about you don't turn up at my house in full Formula One gear, you mental? You look like you just escaped from a home. And these people don't even react. They're getting financial advice from sports people. Maybe in a situation where I've been sitting in my home, Rory McIlroy turns up with an apple. And you think, oh, hello there, Rory. This is a stroke of good luck, isn't it? I was just sitting here thinking, I wish I could get some financial advice from someone who doesn't have a fucking clue what they're on about. And here you've turned up. Isn't everything coming up rosy? Rory McIlroy turned up at my house, I wouldn't think, please could you tell me which bank account I should open? I would think, oh my God, my wife is fucking Rory McIlroy. The only way that that advert could get worse for me is if I came downstairs and John Terry was sitting on my sofa with my dressing gown on. All right, mate. I mean, the reason that people say that Rory McIlroy went off the boil is because he changed his golf equipment. He got this Nike deal for $78 million. And people are saying he shouldn't have done it because he's become a bit rubbish. But he got £78 million. Who gives a shit if he got a bit crapper? I wouldn't give a crap. To put this into context, a couple of years ago, for a tenner, I tongue-kissed a mate. Well, that's... Think about what I would do for £78 million. Right? For 78 million quid, I don't give a shit if it takes one more stroke to get me closer to the green. I don't give a shit. I've got £78 million. I'm going to buy a dolphin. Right? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't understand golf. I don't get the appeal of it, right? You're sort of walking around hitting shit occasionally. My big issue with golf is, right, how expensive it is to get into. I don't understand how you get into golf. You've got to buy all the equipment. It's so expensive. You can play football in the street. You don't see people playing golf in the street, do you? I mean, where I grew up, people did have golf clubs. But they usually had them in one of their hands and they're walking towards me complaining about immigration. Right? Tiger Woods is the other golfer, right? That he's got a huge Nike deal and he caused controversy because he was shagging around. Yeah? Tiger was on the prowl. You know what I'm talking about, yeah? No? Okay. Nike didn't drop him when he did this. They didn't drop him. Of course they didn't. Because why would they care, right? Golf is like one of the most male-centric sports around. Some golf clubs, women aren't even allowed to join. You think these guys are going to give a crap if Tiger Woods is shagging around? They're going to think it's amazing. I can't imagine someone down the golf club with all the lads going, do you know what? I actually think it's absolutely disgusting. The way that Tiger Woods is going around shagging all these hot women, I think it's morally deplorable. And I don't think I'll be associating myself with any of Tiger Woods' products. They don't want to think that. They're going to think he's a ledge. How impressive is that? They were so impressed by Tiger Woods' behaviour in the world of golf, they nearly forgave him for being black. Andre Villas-Boas is a Tottenham manager. He's been getting a bit sensitive because Alan Sugar apparently had a pop at him. He's had a pop back. But what Alan Sugar said, what he actually said was, I'd quite like it if Alex Ferguson was Tottenham manager. Now, Alex Ferguson was possibly the greatest manager of our time. It's not an insult to Andre Villas-Boas to say that he wouldn't mind if he was the manager. It'd be like me getting angry because my wife says that she wants to shag Ryan Gosling. Now, I'm not bringing a lot to the table. If my wife had the opportunity to shag Ryan Gosling, I'd say to her, go ahead, love. Fill your boots. As long as I can have a go on him afterwards. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been The Sports. I've been Romesh Ranganathan. Thank you. Good night.